True words there, Billy Bob. Let me just say this tonight. I mentioned it a while ago. It's our testimony service. We do a couple times a year, maybe three times a year. Just getting to know people in the family of God. I usually ask them, they can take one or all these three questions. I'd like to know something about if you're here with your wife, if you're one that's speaking. How did you meet your spouse? How did y'all get together? How did you make it to this church? What brought you to this church? And also, what brought you to the Lord? What's your testimony? How did you find Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And it gives us a chance to get to know people and to know where they've come from, and it just helps so much. And so come tonight and hear. You'll be blessed when you get to hear the story of many people and what brought them here. We're also very fortunate to have a lot of ministers in our church. It gives you a variety, and it gives you some different perspectives, and God can use many different people, many different gifts. Brother Chester's Clark's just concluded his series four Wednesday nights, and this coming Wednesday night, Brother Kerry Peeby's going to be speaking. I heard him saying it earlier. He's going to be talking about reaping and sowing. What goes around comes around, good or bad. And so come and be a part of that Wednesday night. Also, today we've got another guy that, if you don't come on Sunday nights, you've never heard him probably, because he speaks. I let him and Brother Chester alternate every month on a Sunday night. And Brother Melvin Lane and his wife Dolores, they are a blessing to our church. Now, he's very humble. He's just a chaplain at the VA. How many veterans we got in here? Raise your hand. You may have seen him. There you go. He's a blessing and helps us tremendously at the VA hospital. And if you're ever in there, he'll be a blessing to you. But he's not just a chaplain. He's really the head chaplain of North Florida and South Georgia. He wouldn't tell you that. I'm telling you that. But anyway, so God's elevated him and used him mightily. He's a blessing to our church. Now, he's got one flaw. He is a Georgia Bulldog. And so he's probably feeling pretty good today. We got some others that need prayer. Anyway, he's a blessing to us. I want you to give a welcome to Brother Melvin Lane.
God bless you. Welcome back, Pastor. We're glad to have you. When he asked me to speak a while back, it just gives, as a former pastor, it just gives him the maximum amount of time away. So, and I had the opportunity to prepare this morning. Good morning to everyone. Let me just look at the crowd here from this side, okay, and over on this side. Very good. The reason why I say that, because this morning I was over on this side, and Doug came up, and he thought we were new members. He was welcome. Hey, oh, what are y'all doing over here? I said, well, there's a great gulf affixed between us here. I won't say which side you're on. So, but it is good to be able to, I guess, shake things up a little bit. But, Pastor, I do have one for you this morning. I'll get it out of the way early. So, after service one Sunday, little Johnny told the preacher, when I grow up, I'm going to give you some money. And the preacher said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. But why? He said, well, because my daddy says you're the poorest preacher we've ever heard. Now, Hop wishes that he came up with that one for me before I got here. And I gave him all the opportunity to do that, but I beat him to the punch. I'm really hoping that that is not the case today, because I do know that there is only a fine line between a long, drawn-out sermon and a hostage situation. So we'll get right to it. We're going to look at an Old Testament scripture. It comes from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, and they'll put it on the screen there, and we can read it together. If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? Could we pray? Heavenly Father, we just pause to come before you this morning, recognizing you first and foremost. This is your word, and these are your people. And so at this hour, I ask that you would allow your presence to not only be here, but I pray for your anointing. It's what makes the difference. It breaks the yoke of sin. And God, you know how to use someone standing here as a channel for you to just flow through. And I'm asking that I would be hidden behind the cross, that you would be glorified and your people would be edified. We ask this in your blessed name, Jesus. And the whole house of God can say together,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Allow me to set the stage a little here and offer some context. Let's look at this Old Testament scripture and see what we can learn from history. And I say it that way, history, because it was not my favorite subject in class. I excelled at P.E., recess, lunch. I really did. I love those subjects. But you know, how's the saying go? Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So let's see what we can learn from the life and times of Jeremiah. You okay with that? Is that? That's very good. I feel good already because that's exactly what I've got on this paper here. So we're going to go with it. Jeremiah is a prophet in the Old Testament, and he's under the Old Covenant. And we know the Old Covenant being Old Testament before Christ has come. Now, we live under the New Covenant, the New Testament, of course, but all of it can be applicable at certain times in your walk with the Lord, because even though that Old Testament may have promises for the Jews, we have been grafted into the vine, and so we too can lift up sections like Jeremiah 29 and 11, but we have to understand the context of what that means, knowing that that was a letter saying, hey, God's got a plan for you, Judah, as well. So Jeremiah was not a warm and fuzzy kind of guy. He cried and he prophesied. He did so about judgment and also about repentance and the need for it. He prophesied because that's what God told him to do. He cried because people ignored God's warning. They wouldn't listen to God's word. Idol worship was prevalent. Injustice was throughout the land. Oppression of the poor was taking place. People were greedy. Theft was rampant. And other sinful practices, such as child sacrifice to Molech, was taking place. And Jeremiah is prophesying, saying this is bad and the judgment of God is coming. Spanning the reigns of Jeremiah, preaching this is about 40 years under five different kings of Judah's reigns. And so think about it, though. Preaching the judgment of God is coming is not a fun message to deliver to the people. It's like, extra, extra, read all about it. I have bad news, and I have more bad news. I mean, nobody wants to deliver that, right? But God raises him up and tells him to prophesy to Judah. And those Judeans that are in the land there, we understand who we're talking about. You know, the 10 tribes are up north in Israel. You have Judah is Judah and the tribe of Benjamin there in the south. But they didn't stop sinning. And God's judgment is being told that it is coming, and it does come in the form of Babylonian captivity in 586 B.C. I could have put Pastor on the spot because I guarantee you it was on his Old Testament test, just like it was on mine in seminary days. But King Nebuchadnezzar, that's a mouthful there, he comes and he destroys. Now, he's been siphoning off people along and along, but he comes and he destroys for good there Jerusalem and Solomon's temple. So the political and the religious structure is dismantled. Judeans are being exiled and taken off into captivity. It's the end of the kingdom of Judah. And Jeremiah is eventually taken over into Egypt against his will, and he dies. The end, right? So how do we apply all of this history in our lives today? And that's exactly what I asked God, because when he called me a few weeks ago and asked me, I said, yeah, I believe I got a message. And the more I typed, God gave me this instead of what I thought I could preach today. So let's see how a whole lot of history can be applied even in our lives today. It brings me to my first point, which just simply says, ask him because he knows. Just simply ask God because he knows what's going on. Because all of this happened a long time ago in a land far away and not so easy for us to relate to. It's like asking a young person, and no picking on young people at all, but it's like asking a young person to talk more about the world wars and Korean War and in Vietnam. It was good to see all the veterans here this morning. It's a takeover. You didn't know it, but they're coming for us. So, and I'd be one of them. So, or it's like asking a young person to explain, or I should say an older person, explain to a young person when they ask that question of which social media platform should I use for marketing? Is it Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook or Pinterest? See, I'm drawn toward this crowd over here because these youth, they know exactly what I said. I had to look most of that up. Now, I've heard of Facebook, never been on it. I use phone book and face-to-face. And people today don't, it's a funny for me, but see, they laugh because they don't even, my chaplain, some of my chaplains are so young, they're like, what are you talking about, phone book? You know, it's, I think about it. It's difficult to relate to what was taking place in those days. And it's kind of like the Bible here, or really, it is like the Bible. You have to not only read it, you have to study it, and then ask the one who knows what it's all about and how you can apply it in your life. And Jeremiah was not that relatable of an individual, not even to his own family. He was the son of a priest, but even his own family betrayed him. Jeremiah's kin, men of Anathoth, those were from the tribe of Benjamin, his hometown, well, they plotted to kill him because of his prophecies. He had a very unpopular message, folks, and that's not easy for someone in ministry. People did not like hearing what he had to say. Religious and political leaders rejected him. They did not want to hear about 70 years of captivity coming. That's not an uplifting message. Can you imagine? Here he is, just 69 years, 11 months, and 29 more days to go. Nobody wants to hear something like that. False prophets were also in the land, and they were giving out false prophecies saying, well, we believe that a return to order is going to take place sooner than that. Well, wouldn't we want to go with that side if we think that they're the men of God for the day instead of, man, 70 years of captivity and Jeremiah is telling us to go ahead and settle down? It's going to happen. It does happen. Jeremiah is there in Jerusalem when it happens, and he's saying just go ahead and settle down. Just go ahead and be disruptive, but settled in Babylon because that's where you need to be right now, thus saith the Lord. They beat him. They put him in stocks. They threw him into a cistern. And those are not brethren and cistern. A cistern holding water. They throw him down in there and they leave him for dead. And he had a friend named Ebed. Everybody needs a friend like Ebed in their lives because he gets, I think it was some sheets or something to lower down in there with some others, and they bring him out and they rescue him. His preaching was even taken as unpatriotic because those that were listening to him said, there's no way it can be of God because we're supposed to just go into captivity. This can't be of God. But whose words are they? Anybody know who's really sending the message? God. Gold stars all around. Now, people on Sunday night, if you attend Sunday night, they know exactly what I'm talking about. You can relate to my gold star stories. By the time of this scripture, Jeremiah 12:5, by the time of this, he's been preaching about 20 years, 18 years or so that he's been preaching. Now, why is that important? Because he's not a newbie. This is something that he's been at for a while. And he is he's asking God, "Hey, God, you know I'm not quitting here, but I am wondering, how difficult is it going to get?" He's not going to leave, you know, from the standpoint when the going gets tough, but he is asking, "How tough is it going to get, God?" And I wonder if some of us think like that at times in our own life. How bad will it get in my own life because of maybe a diagnosis or a job situation or a strained relationship that you have, or fill in the blank, or maybe looking at the world today and how we see that the difficulties are there with wars and rumors of wars. And we know the Bible tells us this, and it's been going on a long time, not just now, but pestilences and earthquakes and storms. It reminds me, you know, last Sunday after church, we stepped out back, and your mom has been overtaken, Becky, with pestilence. They have grasshoppers. It sounds like the size of cars. And a good son like you would go over there and kill all those grasshoppers. And she said, "And you know, Melvin, also, before I can close the door, the lizards run inside. So I know you can handle those pestilences that they have over there, Pastor." Jeremiah, though, man, he was a likable guy in the stance. Not from a warm and fuzzy, but a likable guy, if you know what I'm about to say here. He was real. And I like men, and women too, anybody that's just real and honest. I used to work in prison. I was a mental health counselor in Columbia Correctional. And I spent time in there with what we call the men down in the hole. And that was my everyday, 4-10s. And they used to say, the word would get out, you know. They'd say, "Mr. Lane, you're real, man. You're just real." And, of course, I didn't know any other way to be in there. But I spent time with the guys and called them by name, and they couldn't believe that I even knew their names. But he's honest with God. And did you know that it's okay to be honest with God? Now, some that have been trekking with the Lord here and on this journey for many, many years, you know that, right? But the younger people in here, you may need to hear that. And that can get sometimes difficult because we say, "Well, God already knows what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through because the Sunday school teacher or Wednesday night teacher has already told me that." Of course, He is supreme. He is sovereign. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. But at the same time, He still wants you to share with Him how you're feeling, and He wants you to be honest with Him. So I want you to know that some people, though, still, someone as old as this guy that you're looking at up on stage here, that'd be me, not Pastor. So there's older people that are still very stoic, and we stuff our feelings. I don't want to cry in front of anybody. You know, we walk around, so to speak, with everything's fine. Pepsodent smile. That dates me right. The Crest whitening smile on our faces. And we think everything is fine, but we're not. We're hurting on the inside. And, you know, God just wants you to take it to Him and tell Him all about it. I like Jeremiah because he was passionate. He was emotional. He didn't mind just getting with it. He was ready to jump up. If he had the Apple Watch, it would have probably been loud all the time when he was barking it all out to tell people. He grieved for his people, hence the tears. He's grieving because they're not listening to God. And I'm sure he was feeling like, "I feel, God. Why do I understand, but you don't?" Because he knew where he had come from. He was no better than anyone else. And your pastor, our pastor, knows the same thing. We're no better than anyone else. We're going to be held to a higher standard. That's because we know we better read and pray before we come to this pulpit, because I want the anointing. I don't need any of my antics trying to deliver a message. I don't need any slickness or big words. I need the Spirit of the Holy God flowing, because He's the one that we are all accountable to. He was frustrated at times, but he was still fervent in his service. And so that lets me know it's okay to be frustrated at times. Jeremiah was. So we can look at Jeremiah's life and we can learn that as well. He prayed through the pain. Perry, I know you look good in your hospital gown, you know, a week or so ago. You did. You look better today. It's good to see you. But even through that pain, you were saying God is faithful. Now, it's great to be here today, but not everybody gets out of the hospital. You know? So their healing comes in a different form. It's that eternal healing. So we recognize that God is faithful even through the pain. And that's another point that we can learn from Jeremiah. There's no name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, declare it, decree it, whatever you want to say. There's no, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right with Jeremiah. And I appreciate that. Because when I'm sick, my wife will tell you, I have told everybody in the house, and it's just only her, but I am sick. It's one of those things. I can't believe this is happening in my life. Jeremiah was dealing with a lot on his own, in his own calling, in his own walk with the Lord, because no one wants to be an unpopular preacher. And he's living in the final years. He knows it's coming. And it's the last decades or so, because he's been preaching there 40 years. He's lived there 50 years plus. And so he's there seeing a crumbling nation, and there's nothing that he can do about it. He sees it coming, and then he lives through it. So I wonder if anyone here sees what's happening in our land today, just like Jeremiah did in his day. Sometimes I feel helpless and frustrated with news events, but God has not called me to put my faith in the news. God has called me to a life of prayer and reading His Word, just like He has to every one of His children. And I'm reminded that we live by faith, not by feelings. And God will have the final say. I'm already an overcomer. I'm just required to stay focused on Him. I'm not here to motivate you or try to inspire anything. It's good for me to get glad in the same pants that I get mad in when I get frustrated, but I need something that lasts, not anything temporary. I need Jesus' encouragement, because that is eternal. Remember that old song? Billy, you know you're going to stand before Him. I'll probably kneel one day, but just be able to sing that song that you to sing this morning, but see him face to face. Yeah. You know, the song that comes to mind right now is, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Yeah, some of y'all remember that song. You know, there's hope in Jesus, folks. The world needs it, but we need it too. There's help in Jesus. There's healing in Jesus. Heaven waits. For a moment there, I felt like David Jeremiah with all my H's. I just lined them all up for you. But let's look at how this chapter opens at chapter 12, verse 1. And let's just kind of dig a little bit deeper into the history lesson here. Jeremiah asked God a question. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet, let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Now, as I look at a good-looking Sunday morning crowd, I imagine that no one here has ever questioned God. You've never talked to Him about His justice system, about things like, it's only Jeremiah and me complaining here. And Jeremiah, he tries to roll it in there, right? You know, he's saying, hey, you're righteous, but let me just ask you this question, God. Don't you love that? Hey, you're awesome. You are wonderful. I just got one thing. I just want to bring it to you. And God is listening. It's like asking that question. And I know I have done it at times. God, why do you allow them to get away with that? Or, God, why did this happen to me and mine and not to them and those? God, I would really appreciate it if you just rain down some fire from heaven. I'll help you paint the target. I can show you exactly who you need to zap right here. None of y'all have ever questioned like that, but Jeremiah did. He questions, why, Lord? And then God answers him. And that's a good day. No matter how difficult it becomes to Jeremiah, it's a good day, because sometimes we don't get any answer. He's answering by not answering, but he answers Jeremiah. And Jeremiah has it penned, of course, the divine inspiration, but it's good for us to see this. And here's how he answers, is in our verse today, chapter 12, verse 5. And God is saying this: if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted and they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? So there's this complaint to God, and God answers him. And what's wonderful is God listens to him first, and then he speaks. He doesn't interrupt him. But then he does let Jeremiah know some things. He could have been harsh. He could have said, "Who do you think you are talking to me?" But he doesn't do that. God allows us to take all of our frustration, all of our pain, all of our struggles, when we do see that it seems like the world gets away with so much. And you know what I mean by the world, not just your neighbor. I'm talking about the things that you've seen on the TV, just like I have the last few years. But God listens and he speaks to him. And what can we learn from this? Brings me to my next point. Listen to God when he speaks, because he knows exactly what you need at that moment. Whether you understand it at that moment or not, he's speaking to you, and it can come to fruition at a later time, but it's for your life. God does not make a mistake. He pinpoints. He knows who you are. He knows what you need, and he is speaking to Jeremiah in a direct manner, but he uses this language here, metaphor, but God speaks to Jeremiah, and that point is, for this one is, it lets us know that God still speaks to people, not just earlier in the Old Testament. Here it is later, and then we recognize in the New Testament, and some people believe that that's it. But that's not the case. Even though we have these 66 books, and most of what God wants to say has already been spoken, Jesus is the Word, but God still speaks to hearts today. I am someone that I can't explain it all to you, and I've been through two seminaries and have two whopping degrees. It doesn't matter. I just know I'm an old country boy from South Georgia, and God speaks to me. Sometimes I don't understand it all, but the divine, the one beyond this universe, he speaks to me. And with tears dripping, there are times I ask, why would you, holy God, take the time to speak to me? And it's because he loves his children. He loves us so much that he saw you as worthy. That's why he sent his son. He saw you, somebody listen to this today. He saw you as worthy enough to send his son from glory, to endure all that he endured for you. It's all about what his son has done, and it ultimately brings glory to that holy Trinity. That's not on the pages here today, folks. That's just the Lord letting me know. Somebody needs to hear, whoever you are, whether in here or by a CD one day, somebody needs to hear that you were seen as worthy to be saved, rescued by a holy God. God could have been harsh, but instead he points out Jeremiah's impatience. And then, with these questions that God says there in our verse today, he lets Jeremiah know, hey, worse is coming. Oh, joy! That is not what we want to hear at that moment in time, but how wonderful that is, God. Sometimes when he speaks to us, it's not easy to hear, but we need to hear what he has to say. It's like, so Jeremiah, if you're worn out from running with the men, What makes you think you can run with horses? It's that preparation time, but he's also building Jeremiah's faith. Even though he's not a newbie, he's just building faith. He still does it in our lives today. Amen? Amen. God gives him this metaphor and he uses this comparison to make a point. He's saying, if you can't handle these days, what will you do when the significant trouble comes, Jeremiah? Like the flooding of Jordan. Now, I had to do some study on that part right there because I've never been to Israel. But I get this image of the Jordan, and you know, you get it from the early days growing up when you sat in front of that big RCA TV like this, and they showed scrawny Jesuses back then, you know, the scrawny Jesus, and they show him being baptized, and it just looked like a stream of water about as wide as this stage. But would you mind, Julia, would you put that up on the screen? I found this picture. That's what it looks like at times when the Jordan overflows, and he is saying, Jeremiah, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait until you see what's coming. It's going to get a lot worse. If you run with the foot soldiers and they wearied you, then how can you contend with horses and charioteers? If you can't handle the small stuff, how are you going to stand when the battle rages? And God continues with this part here specifically for that image that you see. And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? God is saying, Jeremiah, in your own hometown and with your own family, they betrayed you. Somebody sitting here today may know how that feels. And he's saying, and those were peaceful days, Jeremiah, in a sense, at least more peaceful than what's coming. And compared to that, you trusted them, now trust me. God reminded him, you know how dangerous it gets, Jeremiah. And he gives him this image of this raging water, the floodplain of the Jordan, and all the water rushing through there. And if you can't read that, it's heavy rains, and there's people that died. And that's from the Jerusalem Post, 3,700 tourists evacuated. Now, you think about it, in those days, they had to get across the water. There's not a lot of bridges everywhere like it is today. So God is just flooding him with this imagery and this mindset, if you will, because when God speaks to me, and it's not like it happens all the time, you know, it may come rare at times to me, but when he does, he just floods my mind with all of this imagery and what he's saying to Jeremiah here specifically is, Jeremiah, you know what it looks like. It's so overflowing that it's easy where the thicket is that it's easy to get entangled when you're trying to cross over to the other side because you can't see what's under because the water has become muddy and it's churning up because it's in the spring of the year when the heavy rains come and Mount Hermon has snow on it and it rushes that extra water down. Some of you know, well, we had in Texas earlier this year, you know what I'm talking about. Overnight, entire camps can be washed away, and what God has given him there is, if you can't handle it when it's peaceful, what are you going to do when it gets a whole lot worse? And God asked Jeremiah, what will you do when this happens? Now, I doubt God uses maybe the tone that I'm using here today, of course, with his prophet, but I do believe it was a maturing moment with the man of God. I'm sure it was a humbling time to hear that you're complaining now. What are you going to do when it gets a whole lot worse than now, Jeremiah? And he lets Jeremiah know it is going to get a whole lot worse. We can learn from Jeremiah's lesson because God schooled him. He's not schooling us, right? But God took Jeremiah to task, and we can learn from reading this book and reading about this that God was making a point through simply asking him the questions. He's letting him know that there are struggles in life. There's ups and downs. What will you do? You know, Jesus tells us in the New Testament, in this world, the world that we live in, not just for the disciples in those days, that you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, is what Jesus has said. Life doesn't always go the way we think it should. Pastor, you agree? I know, because if it did, like he said earlier to me, if life was fair, he wished that he had been born rich instead of so good looking. Or something like that. I don't think he said that really, but that was my one funny for you right there. Life isn't fair, this life. But the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's the fairest judge, is he not? Jesus knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows how you're handling it, how you're dealing with it. In counseling, as I say, how are you coping today? He knows what is going on in your individual world. He's working in you. He's working on you. He's working through you to bring out the best for Him and His glory. And we just, if we will allow Him to do it and flow through us, we just stand back and say, look what the Lord has done. That's a testimony time, as Pastor had talked about, coming tonight. So what can we learn? Brings me to my third point. Only have four, so don't get nervous on me. Trust Him because He's trustworthy. You may be sitting here today, and I believe people here at Williston Church of God pretty well, you're like thoroughbreds talking about horses. You would understand what that means, right? You're not a bunch of city folk. You've seen enough in your lifetime to see flim-flam. You've seen people that talk a talk, but they don't walk it. But I'm here just to remind you again today, don't throw in the towel. And I don't believe that you're on the brink of that, right? But don't quit. Don't walk away. Too many have already done that. Sure, we get discouraged from time to time. There is no doubt about that. Who doesn't? Sinner and saint alike gets discouraged. But the difference is we have Jesus. And Jesus loves you. And heaven is worth it. All of this is not just pastor up here talking. This is going to happen. Much of it has already happened. You can go dig in the dirt over there with them and find the trinkets. It's there if you will just believe. And I believe enough that the rest is coming possibly sooner than we think. We'll all have not so great days. But some sitting here may say, well, I've had not so great weeks and months, and it's a long time. I recognize that. I do. I was on the phone with someone when I was waxing warm with what God was giving me, but I saw who was calling, and I had just preached his wife's funeral. And I knew there's those divine appointments. And we talked for a long hour. And I told him, I said, you know, I may just even bring you up. Because he's doing everything right, everything he can to keep it together. But what do you do after you lose someone so close? And my question to you is, who else is there to turn to when you feel all alone and you feel like giving up? We have friends, there's no doubt, but the majority of your friends, as I like to say, and I'm not the one that coined it, Stu Weber said it best, is your true friends can fit in the cab of a truck. But Jesus says, I stick closer than a brother. He goes with us to the end of the age. He said, my very name, one of them, when you call on me, is Emmanuel, God with you, with us. Over in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we hold on to his nail-scarred hand and take everything to him in prayer. And put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes, Some versions say wiles. Whatever the cunningness and the craftiness of old Slewfoot, you have the armor of God because we have to suit up every day. There's not a single day that you can say, I can put it off. I was there. I was in the busy pastorate time. You can't. It doesn't work like that. Well, you can do it. That's the time that you will find out. I did. I can own this. That I will fail. On the days that end in Y are the days that I will fail. So if I don't suit up every day, it's like flossing. You know, the dentist tells me all the time, I don't like to floss, but I brush real hard. Yes, you brush too hard. Well, that should get out all the gunk. And she says, but you need to floss more, Melvin. And so it's like the Holy Spirit saying, my dentist says, just floss the ones you want to keep. You know, you've heard that saying, and I don't like that saying, but just pray and proclaim to God on the days that you think you should. That's like every day. It's not legalistic. That's not legalistic. That's the Word of God. Let me get back on course here. Because He... Well, this is a good one right here. Got it right here for us. Matthew 24:13. Because he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. That was one of the first verses in my life that I remember as a teenager memorizing. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Some of us, the end is coming sooner than later. But some of us may see some things just like Jeremiah. God reminded Jeremiah of where he'd come from and how much he could endure. You know, life sure seems easier looking back, doesn't it, than when you're going through it. Now, I can't really speak to this, but I'm still going to throw it out there because you parents, y'all know all about it. You remember, if you have those little ones, now some of sis got some little ones, but little still now, right? But some of you, they've grown up. When you were in the diaper-changing days and the teething times, you know what I'm talking about. Those seem like the most difficult times, sleep-deprived. What is this stuff called colic? And I've heard of putting them on washing machines. I remember in seminary, my brother, he was a good friend of mine. He's like, man, the wife put one on a he had two at the time, on a washing machine last night. And I thought, man, I don't know anything about kids, but that sounds like interesting stuff that you do that, right? You know, and so you look back at those days, sleep-deprived, and you think that's the hardest times. And then they move into the teenage years. And I'm told this. I don't know this. I was just a precious little child. I didn't do these things. I don't know. So I look at this and I think, but then there's driving and insurance and dating. And then they're going to move out or not, you know. And you look at this and you think, which one was the more difficult days? And if you're well beyond those years, you're like, you know, that wasn't anything at all. No sweat. But then those that are going through it, those mamas right now going through it, because many times, not often, but or always, but many times, dad's out at work, mom's going through it. You wouldn't trade it for the world because that love that is given to you through that child is a gift of God. Amen? Well, that was so weak. Some of you may trade it, you know.
Amen. You don't know I'm going through it.
So God uses all of the struggles and the captivity. I know it's a history lesson, but He uses all of that with the Judeans that we looked at here today. For Jeremiah to give the people in that day, and even when we look at it and read it, a glimpse of the new covenant which was to come. And that's my final point. Look for Him because He is coming. Back then it was a promise of restoration, even though it was 70 years. It was a promise, but we get to read in the New Testament that God not only fulfilled that promise that Jesus Christ did come, but He's coming back. God used in Jeremiah chapter 31, and I'll just read it to you. They can put it up on the screen. To declare this, behold the day, and this is God speaking through Jeremiah, to tell them this, Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husbandman or a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And skipping down a little, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. Isn't it great to know that God can use all of that in those days, and He has, which happened with Judah, and also all the issues that happened in Israel, the northern kingdom, so that we Gentiles, now if there's a Jew in here, but we Gentiles, the majority of us, so that we can come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, the Messiah that has already come and is coming back. We've been offered this salvation through the new covenant. And so Jeremiah, I know there's a lot of history here, and it applies mainly for the Jews, the Judeans, the Israelites, all of them what eventually termed as Jews. But we can look back at this and we can learn some things and apply it in our lives too. But ultimately, this glimpse that was given is that Jesus Christ is coming. The Messiah is coming. He did come. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again, and He's coming again for us, and He'll forgive us of our sins. And isn't it great to know, even back then, that last sentence on that last line there, I, that's God, will remember your sins, them no more, no more. Dolores, would you come at this time as we wrap up this history lesson? It's not that Miss Annetta needed a break. She's still thinking about what she's got to go home to, the pestilences. And so I'm giving her a break. My wife is coming. You know, I think about this and I say, thank you, Lord, for strengthening Jeremiah and using him to proclaim how good you are, even through the pain, even through the circumstances, even through what he endured, and sees his nation crumbling, and he's still going to be faithful. He's still going to serve him. And God is saying, I believe, the same in our lives today. Because God, you promised Jeremiah that better days would eventually come. And we here can say the best is yet to come because he's coming back. But until then, yes, we may struggle. Yes, we may have difficult days. We may feel hurt, have pain. We may even complain at times, but thank the Lord that God loves us the way that He loved Jeremiah, the way that He loved His people then, and that we've been grafted into the vine. Would you stand with me and just allow me to pray for us today before we will depart? Father, thank you for loving us and allowing us to know you because of your Son. Thank you for the lessons we can learn from your word. Jesus, please let someone here know that your love for them is greater than their questions, just like you let Jeremiah know. Let someone else know that your love for them is greater than their circumstances or their complaints. Let us all be reminded, God, that your love for us is greater than our past. We often find that one to be most difficult to comprehend. But you forgive those who place their trust in you. And you not only enjoy forgiving us through your Son and the washing away of not covering up, but the washing away of our sins by the blood, but you choose, Father, to forget our past. I will remember it no more. Thank you for teaching us that Jeremiah's impatience and complaint is supposed to remind us of your mercy and grace and long suffering, even when we fail. God, thank you that you're not looking for perfect people. You're looking for faithful people. Only your Son was the perfect one to come. Help us to remember Jeremiah's lesson and stay focused on you. Bless your people as we will go our separate ways today until we meet again. It's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior and soon coming King, Jesus Christ. And the whole house of God said, amen. Amen. Pastor, God bless you. Have a safe trip home. Enjoy this afternoon. Rest.